This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. Grace Marie has been a longtime guest of ours and walked us through a lot of the different critical points in the debate leading up to passage of the president's healthcare plan. And she's also joined us several times since then to explain different revelations that have come out about the plan since it was passed over a year and a half ago. Today she joins us to talk about the administration pulling a critical aspect of that bill known as the CLASS Act. And Grace Marie, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Back during the debate, this was a pretty significant portion of the legislation. Remind our listeners exactly what the CLASS Act was supposed to do.
Well, there really is a problem in this country with people not purchasing long-term care insurance so that if they need nursing home care or extended care after they even in their working years, but especially after they are elderly, then people wind up having to impoverish themselves in order to go on Medicaid. So this was an effort to try to create a program in which people would have an incentive to pay premiums during their working life so they'd have this protection when they retire, which would be fine, except that the federal government is terrible at trying to run an insurance program because it basically cannot price risk. The original legislation said that people would pay a premium of $65 a month during their working years in order to be able to get payouts, if they were to need it, of $50 a day if they needed to have long-term care assistance for people to come in and help them with daily needs at home, for example. Well, Senator Judd Gregg put a provision in the law that said that this program has to be sustainable. I mean, it's the first new entitlement program in which somebody actually wrote into the law that we want to make sure that this would be sustainable over the long term. So he said that you have to show this is financially sound for the next 75 years. And ultimately, after 2 years of work, nearly, the Department of Health and Human Services, the Obama administration, admitted we can't make this financially sustainable because they think, since it's voluntary, that people would very likely only apply for this program and pay the premiums if they were almost guaranteed to want the payouts. And so you wind up attracting older, sicker people, which isn't an insurance program. And so they said the premiums would have to be several hundred dollars a month, or more than $230 million Americans would have to participate in the program. Well, there aren't that many people in the workforce. So it was clear to us this was unsustainable. And finally, the Department of Health and Human Services admitted on Friday afternoon that we're pulling the plug on the program because we can't figure out how to make it work.
Grace Marie, one of the reasons that the CLASS Act became a major topic of conversation prior to the bill's passage is because supporters of the plan cited it as one of the reasons why this would actually be a financially beneficial thing for taxpayers to have the president's health care plan be approved. What was the explanation at the time, and what would we have been looking at if they had not rescinded this part of the bill?
Right. Well, you know, we said at the time that this was one of the many gimmicks that the American people so objected to in Obamacare. This was an effort to try to get people to pay premiums in for 5 years before the first benefits would be paid out. So it looked like this was a moneymaker initially, without any sense that over the long term it was going to be a huge new unfunded entitlement program. So it was used as a way of trying to bring down the 10-year cost of Obamacare and show that they were collecting $87 billion into this program to offset the $1 trillion cost of Obamacare. And it was one of the things that they used to try to help pretend that Obamacare was going to actually help reduce the deficit, which nobody believed. And this gimmick was even more difficult to believe. And it's, you know, the left is very upset that they've actually had to pull the plug on this program. And the president now says he'd veto any legislation to repeal it, even though his administration doesn't see that there's any way forward to put it in place. So they are really, really boxed into a corner on this.
And so given the fact that that was a major linchpin supposedly for making this financially salvable, the impact of the rest of the bill, if it's allowed to stand, constitutionally without the class act and their math paying for it looks like what?
Well, the big deal still is whether or not the Supreme Court allows the individual mandate to stand. And it's really relevant to this class act debate because one of the reasons that they couldn't figure out how to make the class act work is because it was voluntary. People didn't have to sign up. And, of course, a number of people at HHS said, well, if we could just force people to purchase this insurance, then the program would work because they'd be required to pay the premiums in. Well, that's how they're pretending that all of Obamacare works, by making everybody purchase government-defined health insurance or pay a fine or penalty if you don't. And if the Supreme Court pulls the plug on the individual mandate, declaring it unconstitutional, as they should, when they no doubt take this up, hopefully in the current term, and give us a ruling by next June, then they will say, then the rest of Obamacare can't work either because it no longer will have mandatory participation. So this is really, I think, a foreshadowing of the collapse of Obamacare if the Supreme Court says that the government cannot require us to use our own personal private money to purchase a private product that the government mandates under penalty of federal law. They didn't do that in the Class Act. They couldn't make it work. And if they can't force us to purchase health insurance for the rest of Obamacare, they can't make that work either.
Grace Marie, real quick, is the Supreme Court decision the next major aspect of this to come our way, or could we see something else either administratively or legislatively that would be also pretty significant?
There's going to be a big effort in Congress to actually repeal Obamacare. My colleague Tom Miller from the American Enterprise Institute said that leaving this program out there is like leaving a loaded gun on the table. We need to get rid of it. We need to disarm this. We need to pull it make sure that it's repealed entirely. So I think there's going to be a big effort with that. I think there's going to be a big effort to repeal IPAB, this Independent Payment Advisory Board, the Medicare Rationing Board. There are a lot of shoes left to fall on this Obamacare centipede.
And we'll keep checking in with you as all the developments warrant. Grace Marie, always great to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.